Boker Tov, today's daf is Pesachim, daf Nun. We will continue, the Gemara will circle back to the Mishnah again, and then end up getting into again more Agadot until the end of the third Perek, which is the Amud Alef. And then we start the fourth Perek, Makam Shenagu, the Dinim of based on Minhagas and Minhag Makam, and really the Gemara as well, Amud Beis was veer into what one would call also more of an Agadot style Gemara. So it's not a short daf in words, but it should go rather quickly, and we're press on time, so let's get to it. We're holding at the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis. We left off where the Gemara had gotten up back up by the two dots. The Gemara had gotten back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that the same halacha, similar in Shirim, where we discuss one has to go back to rid himself of chametz. When you have a minimum amount of chametz, he cannot just rely on bittul. He has to go back and rid himself as out of the chametz, unless he's going to lose out on some major mitzvah, unless it's pikuach nefesh. He has to go back and get rid of the chametz in person. So if a person has a certain amount of kachim that he took out of Yerushalayim, he has to go back to burn it by the bira in Yerushalayim if he's within a certain proximity, and it's a certain amount. And in the Mishnah, Reb Meir had said the share for both is a kibetza, whereas Reb Yehuda said the share for both is even a kazayas, less than a kibetza. Ask the Gemara. Are we saying there's a machlekes here that according to our mayor, a kibetz is only a kibetz chashiv less than that's not chashiv? And Rabbi Huda says, even a kazayis chashiv, the problem is we have a stira of Ramini. We learned a stira from a Mishnah in Brachas Daf Memhei. The Mishnah says over there, Ad kamahe mezamnin. What is the minimum amount that one has to eat of bread in order to be mechuyiv and able to join the zimun? So Rameir says the shear is ad kazayas, up to a kazayas. Rameir who basis kibetza is the Tanakam there, as is typical, where Tanakam is Rameir, and he says ad kazayas, doesn't say his name over there, but it's Rameir Shita, and he's saying a kazayas. And Yehudu says bas kazayas, he says over there ad kibetza. So they're flipping their shitas. Rameir is the one that's always that but the gabi chametz, the gabi kachim is saying kibetza, and over here by benching he's saying a kazayas. And Yehudu says kazayas by chametz and by kachim, by benching, is saying to join a zim needs to be a kibetza. Amar b'yechidon mechav shita, taka flip it in that Mishnah and say that it's Rameir indeed. Rameir is the one that says kibetza, like he says over here in both of our cases of chametz and kachim, and Abihud is the one that says kazayas. There's always a discussion when we talk about flipping. Which one do you flip? Do you flip over here, flip over there? This one is an easier case because over here we have two dinim that Rameir already said kibetza and two dinim that Abihud already said kazayas. So over there in brachas would be the one that we'd flip, not the case, not by us. Okay, that's Rabbi Yechon's answer. We don't love that answer. We say mechlefes when we have no choice and it fits like a glove. When you just flip the shitas, that everything fits like a glove. That's it. That's the solution that we use when we're stuck. Abai Amar, I have a different solution. Don't flip the shitas over there in brachas. And rather, even though our mayor here is saying kibetza and Abida is saying kazayas, over there they can flip because it's all going based on psukim. Says the Gemara, Hasan b'koy pligi, hacha b'koy b'svar pligi. Abaye says, over there the machlek is based on psukim. Over here, I should say, it's not ogum based on psukim. Over here, it's based on svara. There, it's based on psukim. Here, it's based on svara. Meaning the svaras of what to compare our case to from other dinim in the Torah. So the meaning brachas is going to be based on psukim. And over here, our sugim psukim is going to be based on whether we compare it to tumah or achila. We'll see in a moment. Says Gemara, hasam b'koy piglam achlekes in brachas, whether or not I need a kazayis or kabetz to join a zeman, is telling him in psukim. Why? Ramei oimer v'chalta v'savata. Instead of the pasuk of chalat v'rachta, right? You eat and you get satiated and you bench. So notice, look at our mayor teaches this. So we discussed this in brachas. Achalta zuachila, achalta means eating. The savata keyword zushisi, according to our mayor, even though the pashtus says that for the idea of benching is if you eat enough you have to bench. Our mayor says one only has to bench if you ate and he drank. He teaches savata is a lashon of drinking. Question is, how close to the meal does he drink? Since you go to a meal, you can eat a meal, not drink, not be mechuyev benching, and if you drink someone sometime afterwards, you mechuyev benching. Question is, what the proximity is, discussion in the Achrenim, how this plays out according to the mayor. But the bottom line is, achalta means eating, savata means drinking. What's called an achila? That's the key point that we need. V'achila b'kazayas. An achila is a shear of a kazayas. That is Ramei Ashita, and therefore we say over there, even a kazayas is enough. Even though over here we're saying the shear is a kibetza, according to the mayor, we'll get back to that. Rabbi Yehuda Savrita says, v'chalta v'savata, very simple diak. Achila is taka kazayas, all over kol terakula. When we talk about achila, the minimum shear of achila is typically kazayas. But it says over there, v'chalta v'savata. Achila sheish basviya, achila which hasn't hit satiation. Ve'ezuzu, what's the minimum shear that can satiate a person? Kibetza. A kibetza. Hacha, so that's the machalikas over there by achila by benching whether the shear is kzayis or kibetzah. Rabbi says based on the pesukim, achila is kzayis. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's kibetzah because it means v'savata of being satiated. Hach over here, the gabi chametz, the gabi the kachim going back for them is b'svara plikis b'chalikis based on svara. We treat the din of returning for chametz or returning for kachemit. It relates to the shear for tumah. Ma tumas mekabetz. We've had this idea multiple times in the past few blot. What does it mean? Tumas echlus mekabetz. And again, we've had the machlekes. We had the stuff lamin gimel. We had it again in the earlier. I think it was memhei. We had it where we say that tumas echlus mekabetz could have two meanings. Everyone agrees it means at the very least that in order for echlus to be metama something else, to give to something else, that needs to be kabetz. Is machlekes Rashi Tesis primarily of other shenim as well. Whether that also means that tumah, that eichel cannot become tamei, even less than a kibetza. Rashi says, no. Legabe in itself becoming tamei, even kolshu, that's Rashi enough, back in the Lam Beis, Lam Gimel, even when a kolshu is metamei, whereas Tosfos says, no. That even for Eichel to become tummy, also needs kibetzah. This kibetzah is both a din for the Eichel to become tummy and to convey tummy. Rashi says, no, it's only a din for it to be convey tummy, not to become tummy. So either way, we can easily learn Agamara, again, like we did last time, Agamara is referred to conveying tummy. And the Gemara is saying that when it comes to food being conveying tummy, it needs to be a kibetzah. So we say, afchazarasa be kibetzah. So too, the shear that one has to return to Yushalayim to burn the kachim or to get rid of his chametz in the case where he left his house and he left chametz there on every place, so he's got to make sure before this man to get rid of it. So that's all a shear of Kibetza. Rabbi says Chazaras. We compare the idea of the chiyuv to being chazer to get rid of chametz or kachem top of nun amud aleph kisurai. The shear of chazara makes sense like the shear of iser. Ma iser b'kazayis av chazaras b'kazayis. The shear of iser that Rami agrees to. What's the shear of iser of eating kachem? That's puzzle. What's the shear of iser of eating chametz? Kazayis. Since the shear is kazayis, so therefore that's the shear they want us to return to destroy. That's Rabbi the shita. So it's just machlekes and svara. What are we using as a barometer for the chiyuv to return to get rid of it? The shear of the iser as Rabbi Yehuda, or the shear by case of tumah, something which is a chashan of to have a status of tumah. That's what makes me have to be chayzer, right? And the ma'aseh I'm not being over the iser because in both cases, in the case of kachem, it's already kachem psulim. It already needs to be burnt. Now it's just a matter of burning it by the bira, burning where I am, or by chametz. We said, of course, you could do bittel. I've had of talking about the iser, a mayor degree, you have to get rid of the iser. We're talking about where a guy has the option to do bittel b'liba. Of course, he can vatal b'liba, but is that enough? Do the rabbanon keep in effect the rabbanon's gzeira of destroying it and not relying on bittel? That's where mayor says we can rely on a shiv of kibetza, like Yabai Tumah, in order to obligate that chiv drabbanon. Okay, Tanya, Rav Nosson Eimer, Zev Zev B'Shtei Kibetzim. Rav Nosson says in both cases you need two kibetzim. V'hoed L'cham V'yeld, that in order to be chayv to go back for your chametz, or go back to burn kachem, it would have to be a much bigger share, two kibetzim. L'mayis L'chamim, we're not maizim. Okay, now we get weiter into Gemara, so we're here down to the parak. That was not a gadda to Gemara. That was a Gemara obviously explaining the exact machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Meir when the shear one has to return for his chametz, return for his kachem. But now we get back to a more of a gadda to Gemara. The Gemara quotes psukim. It's gonna, for me, the parak is going to be quoting a lot of things that are related to the times of Mashiach, Las Lavi, and we quoting psukim from different psukim Menach. We'll put quoting from Zechariah. We'll quote later also from psukim in, if I remember correctly, in Amos. But okay, let's let Yeshaya, Zechariah again. We'll see shortly. Says the Gemara. It'll be on that day, there won't be the light of Yikaris or Kipayan. My Yikaris or Kipayan, one of these lights of Yikaris or Kipayan. Few answers. Amar Blazer, Ze Arshi Yakar Bel Mazav, the Kafel Amaba. It's a light that's considered Chashiv in this world, the sun, but in the next world it'll be considered Kafel, like not so Chashiv, because compared to the light in the world to come, the sun, which to us is the greatest light around, will not be considered so Chashiv in Las Alavi. Rabbi Chamar, Eil Nagam Eilis, refers to Nagayim and Eilis, the Dino Nagam Eilis, Mesechtas Nagayim, Tumas, Naga, Tiras, and the Mesech of Eilus, Tumas Meis, and Eil, Sheikar Meim Bamazeh, they're very heavy in this world, meaning they're very heavy in terms of understanding them, they're difficult, they're not simple, yet, V'kifu Yenei Lam Abba, they're going to be more trivial, so to speak, more simple in Elam Abba, in the world to come, we'll have an easier grasp of figuring these things out. Shuma Levi Amar, third pshat, Eilu B'nei Adam, Sheikar Meim Bamazeh, these are people that are yucker in this world, V'kifu Yenei Lam Abba, and in the next world, we'll see they're not so special, meaning people that appear to be amazing and chashiv in this world, and when you get to the Elam HaEmes, hence the term Elam HaEmes, we'll see they won't be considered, they won't be nearly as chashiv. And the Murmur is a story to back up this last pshat. Ki Adav Yosef Bei Rav Yishuv Levi. So Saint Yishuv Levi says this pshat, and look at the story that happened with Yishuv Levi and his son Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's son, of Yishuv Levi, he got sick. Angin, and he was like in a state of close to dying. The first will explain he was atat between this world and the next world. He was out in a coma. When he returned, his father asked him, "Chazus, what did you see?" B'shul Levi asked the son of Mesav, "What did you see when you were out there? Out to the next world?" Amalei said, "I saw an opposite world. Those who are high in this world are below in the next world, and those who are low in this world are above the next world." Amalei, so he said, "You didn't see a backwards world." Beni Elam Barra Isa, famous Gemara, you know what you saw? You saw the proper world. You saw a clear world. Meaning, what you saw is what's really happening. Us, everything's a facade over here. We don't really see clearly what's going on. We don't know people's full stories. We don't know what's people's what the whole picture is and how they're really behaving within the means of their capabilities, of their potential, and only what you saw is the true world, because that's where the person's true ability is really being recognized. Says the Gemara, it's true success, I should say. Success compared to his ability is being recognized. So Amal Vanan Hechasam, so Rishu Levi, we'll speak more about that in a second. Vanan Hechasam, Rishu Levi said, how are we regarded over there in the world to come? So Yosef told his father, just like we're regarded in this world, meaning we're the Gedel Adar, don't worry, in the next world, we're regarded the same way. So before we go further into this conversation, Rabbi Shmuel Levi asked what they were saying in the next world. The Mefarshim bothered, so Salah to others, what was Rabbi Shmuel Levi's concern? How will we regard the next world? Was he concerned that he wasn't choosing the right path for his life? He was a Gadol Dar, he was sitting and learning Torah. Was he concerned that what he was doing was not what he was supposed to be doing? What was really his question to Rabbi Yosef? He knows himself. He knows what he was doing, how he was acting. So Salah explains, big aside, that El Mabad doesn't reward results. And El Mabad, unlike, we say and we make a siyam. Anu amel v'heim amel, anu amel kabbaschar, v'heim amel, and they're amel, by the guy in their amel, they work, they shvitz, and then I'm a kabbaschar. That's what we say. And the question, of course, is, what do you mean? Goyim shvitz and get schar. They get paid, they make money. What does it mean they don't get schar? They have rewarded for their works, whatever the efforts may be. The answer is that a guy is rewarded specifically on results. It's results-based rewards, right? Which is not the way this world works. A person gets rewarded for results. The effort itself is not really as important as a result. Often you won't get results without effort. That's a basic concept in most endeavors. But the bottom line is, it's result-based, it's not effort-based. Whereas Torah is exactly opposite. Anu amelim akabaschar. When we're amel in Torah, when we learn Torah, it's not based on our results, the outcome, whether the guy's the biggest whether he knows the sugya cold, whether he can become a pesik, it's based on amelos. We're amel, we get schar. If we're not amel, even if we know everything, guy's born, he's a genius, he picks up everything in 1 second, he barely learns, he's not going to get the same schar as the guy who doesn't know much, but he sits and learns all day. He schwitzes. We get reward based on amelos. Ask Rabbi Shmuel Levi, who knows? Maybe my level was so strong, my ability is so strong, that maybe I'm not being amel the way I'm supposed to be amel. That is how Rabbi Shmuel Salanter understands his question was. And the answer was, no, you're giving it your all. The effort you're putting in is exactly the effort that's demanding of you. And just like you're on top in this world, his son tells him, so too, we're on top in the world to come. This idea is actually very related to this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, why was this week's Parsha? Parsha's Eira? Because the Parsha speaks about Moshe and Aaron, and the Pasuk puts, usually Moshe comes before Aaron. Who Moshe of Aaron? But some places it puts Aaron before Moshe. And Rashi has the kasha, why does it flip the order sometimes? So the simple answer I would have said before Rashi, I would have said because you have two factors over here. Aaron's the older brother. Aaron was the older brother, clearly by 3 years, Aaron's the older brother. And Moshe was the greater one. Moshe was the leader of Kaisel. Sometimes it puts Aaron first, sometimes it puts Moshe first, which is actually a concept we find one of the Malchim in by the B'nai Slavchad in their order, and when the Marcel tells us one time they were quoted in order of their age, one time they quoted in order of their godless. So you find the concept. So here too, I would have applied that concept as well. I'm not making it myself. I would have applied it from the Gemara's elsewhere, Legavi, other ages and other descriptions of siblings in the Torah. However, it's not what Rashi says. Rashi says famously, Melamed Shein Shkulam, it teaches you that Moshe and Aaron were equal. It puts Moshe first sometimes and Aaron first another times to show they're equal. Moshe is put first more often, fine, but Aaron is put first sometimes to show that they're equal. Ask for Moshe Feinstein and many other Achrenim. But they're not equal. Meaning, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Klal Yisrael. We say in Animamims, right, that there was never a Navi like Moshe, there's never a Navi in history that'll be like Moshe Rabbeinu. We know he was on the highest Madriga, he was the highest leader, but that's not to diminish the Madriga Aaron kind of reached. Aaron was also an unbelievable high Madriga, but Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater Madriga. Why are we fooling ourselves, seemingly, and saying La Moshe Shkulam? What does that mean? It seems to be a false attitude, a false look, just to kind of get a feel-good answer. So, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not the answer. The answer, they are shkulim. You know why? Avada Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher madriga than Aaron HaKohen. It's not a question. He was a greater leader, and he was on a, meaning he reached a higher level of leadership and higher level of Nevi'ahs. But Everything is based on a person's capability. The capabilities that Moshe Rabbeinu was born with were a higher level than the capabilities of Aaron HaKohen. Says Moshe Feinstein, they each fulfilled the maximum of their capabilities to the same level. So you're right. In practice, Moshe Rabbeinu was perhaps on a higher level than Aaron in practice because he was on a higher level in terms of his capabilities. But in terms of fulfilling capabilities, they're on the exact same level. And therefore, in Shemayim, they're equal. There's no difference. There's no difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. They're still equal. That is what Rashi means, Mamesh Shkulin. And that is the same idea that we're saying over here, that Rabbi Shimon Levi was trying to figure out, are we on the same level in Shemayim as we are here? Are we fulfilling our capabilities to the best of our ability or not? I'm noticing here, I didn't notice this before, but in the article notes, maybe this relates to the same piece, because they're bringing in the notes over here in Darash Mesha on the sixth parsha, that Rabbi Yosef used the term Eilam Hafach. And Ramesha was, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is Ramesha Feinstein bringing this, but Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered, what's the Lashon of Eilam Hafach? It's a very funny Lashon to use, meaning, and his father had to tell him, no, it's Eilam Emes, why do you call it Eilam Hafach? So, L'chaira, the answer he gives is, that people that were, one second, right. That Rabbi Yosef in the Gemara was bothered that people who Maisa did good deeds. They did good deeds that clearly were worthy and they still were lower down on the scale. That's Gufo, that was part of his kasha. He called me, the question is, Hafach is a little bit of a derogatory term. He's calling it Hafach derogatory. Why would he call him Haba Eilam Hafach? And surely he had an inclination, a little bit of what Rabbi Levi's answer is going to be. So Ramesha explains that he was bothered that people that clearly doing good deeds, they're doing Staka, they're doing Taira, they're doing Maisim Tavim, they're clearly doing good deeds and still they weren't so high up. And that's why they answered, because at the end of the day, if they had the means, it came to them very easy, and they had a very, very weak yetzara, stopping them from learning, and stopping them from giving tzedakah, of course they get schar for what they did, not lose the schar, but it's not on the madrega. If there wasn't a melos involved, it won't be nearly on the madrega of those who have a melos, so it doesn't mean that they're not being rewarded for what they did. It just means they're in a true spot on their totem pole as to fulfilling their capabilities. Again, it must be part of the same piece that I just mentioned, so I didn't notice this before I appeared, but it must be part of the same piece that I just mentioned with who Moshe Aaron and who Aaron and Moshe, that again, the word goes based completely on one's capabilities, and that's exactly why he thought it was hafach, but the answer is, it's not hafach, a beautiful idea. A very, very timely, again, it's this coming week's parsha. Says the Gemara, Shemati, Rabbi Shimon Levi asked him, what else did you hear? And his son said, Shemati, Shayimim, I heard them saying, famous Gemara, Ashra Misha Bala Kamatam Biyadi, fortunate the one who comes here with Talmudai Biyadi, holding his Talmudai Biyadi. There's actually an interesting Marsha, I believe you mentioned this in the past, Marsha Bav Basra says, on Daf Yud, that Talmudai Biyadi means someone that Tamachacham, that writes his learning. It's not good enough to just learn. A person has to write his learning, either write his chedushim down, or if he's going to shir and he hears things that are not just easy enough to go back to the Gemara and read the Gemara inside. He has nuances, ideas, pirushim. He should be writing it down. That's Talmudai Biyadei, taking notes. Very interesting. Okay. So the Gemara, Ashmish Balakad v'Talmud Biyadei v'Shabbat Shalaimim. I heard them saying Haruge Malchus Ein Adam Yachal Amen B'Chitzasan. The Haruge Malchus, those that are killed by the government, no one can reach their enclosure, no one can reach their Madrega Shemayim. Those were killed in Shemayim. Uman knew, who are these type of people? If you want to say Rabbi Kiva Chaverev, Rabbi Kiva Chaverev, they already were Gedolei Dor before this. And there's a biggest saying that Freshman point out that we always talk about someone dying on Kiddush Hashem, and it's taka, it's unbelievable. Someone dies on Kiddush Hashem, Agamar is saying that. You go right up to Shemayim, you go to the highest level in Shemayim. But without diminishing that, greater than dying al-Kiddush Hashem is living al-Kiddush Hashem. A person who lives his whole life and he forgoes the pleasures of the world and he forgoes the greatest taivas to dedicate his life to Kaddish Baruch Hu, to Mekaddish Shemayim, of course he's on that madrega of Kiddush Shemayim. He doesn't have to die al-Kiddush Hashem to reach that madrega. Of course he's on that madrega. And it's a black white Gemara over here. We've said this concept in the past. It's a black white Gemara right over here. The Gemara is asking, Rabbi Akiva Chaverev needed to die al-Kiddush Shemayim by being the Haruge Malchus, in order to get this Mechitz of Kaddish Baruch Hu. They lived on Kiddush Shem Shemayim. They give up their lives for Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Of course they're on the Madrega. Mercy, you're right. Says Mar Vesulai, and for no other reason, they wouldn't have merited for their lifetime being in those enclosures. Avadanat, Ella Rugilud. Avad is not referring just to them because they would have been in this Mechitz regardless. It's referring to Harugilud. Harugilud, the Prashanim explained, is a story where the Gaim came and it falsely accused that two Yidden killed somebody, and because of that, they're going to take out revenge on the entire Yiddish population. And two people from Lud came, and they, two brothers, Lulenius and Pappas. They stepped forward and said, "Yeah, we did it." They didn't do it. They stepped forward and took the fall for committing the crime, and they were killed in order to save a pogrom, a much bigger punishment on Klal Yisrael at large. So even though they necessarily, we're not saying they were bad people, but they didn't necessarily live their whole life on the madriga of Rabbi Akiva. Still, just that act alone, they done a kiddush Hashem that warrants them to go into the mechitza of the greatest people in Shemayim. Al-Mitzilas Hasis HaKadosh Hashem. Pasuk Zechariah says, on that day, there'll be Mitzilas on the horse of the, there will be Mitzilas of the, they'll be on the Mitzilas of the horse, the words Kadosh Hashem. My Mitzilas Hasis, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Asakash Baruch Leisav HaYishalayim, Ad Shehasis Ratz Umeitzil. That Kadosh Baruch is going to add to the Shear of Yishalayim, to the city of Yishalayim, as far as a horse can run, and then Meitzel, Meitzel means that cast a shadow under itself, meaning before the horse gets tired. So the way they explain it is that when you have a shadow right beneath yourself, it's talking about like noontime. So the distance that a horse can run till it casts a shadow on itself by noontime, from morning till noon, that distance that a horse can run, that's how far Yerushalayim is going to grow to that expanse. Rabbi Elazar Omer, come see Shetel and suspain enough Yer Kadosh Hashem. All the bells that are hung between the eyes of the horse will become Kadosh Hashem. That means in times of Mashiach, people will take off the bells from their horses and they can donate it to the base of Megiddush. Rabbi Echad Amar, Kabizah Shabbaz in Yisrael, all the spoils that Klai Yisrael will get, Ad Shash, Asus, Ratz, Matzil, from the morning until again noon, same idea, until the shadow goes underneath itself, Yer Kadosh Hashem will be donated. Again, all those spoils will be donated to the base of Megiddush. Similar idea, it's a kind of a combination almost of the first two ideas. One, combining the shadow idea for time together with the donating to the base of Megiddush. Bishlal, the number called Biza Shabazz Yisrael, according to me, says that all the Biza that Klai Yisrael buzzed with this last Pshat, Rebbe Chanan, Hainu Dechziv, the Pasuk makes sense where it says, Vahaya, Hasiris Bebeis Hashem, Kim Zrakhlefim Bebeach, the path to the base of Megiddush will be like the bowls in front of the Mizbeach, meaning there'll be tons of kalim, and there'll be a vast amount of kalim that were donated to Beis Hamikdash, and they'll have enough fancy gold to use for all the different kalim. Even these bowls in front of the mizbeach will be very chashiv. Elamad Amar Panach Tarti, the one who says like the first two malchim, my vayis yis and Beis Hashem. What does it mean that there's going to be so much in the Beis Hashem? It's different. It's not a continuation of the mitzvahs of the horses. It's a different concept. The misatri Yisrael misanim b'maisi. The loss of lovei in the third base. I mean, this class will be very wealthy and they'll make a lot of donations. But it's not a continuation of the idea of the mitzvahs of the horses. It's not a continuation of that same part of the pasuk, of the earlier part of the pasuk. Pishlam the mandam biza kord mandam again the biza beichanan hanilchsev leyakarani oid beface Hashem tzvakas. They will not be a karani in this context of teaching as a merchant in the base Hashem. Meaning there'll be so many donations in the Beis HaMikdash that they won't have to see any business taking place for the people that deal in the Beis HaMikdash, because there's going to be abundance of wealth there, of money. According to first Malchim, Ma'avleya Kanani, what does it mean? Again, it's not connoting the pasuk about the Betzilas of the horse. It's not connoting some abundance of having so much wealth in the Beis HaMikdash, so much money there. So what does it mean? You won't have to have a kanani over there, a merchant. It just means there won't be any anias over there. Kanani means v'lei kanani. There won't ain't kan ani. There will no longer be over here a poor person. Kanani melo dekatagar. The Gemara took for granted that kanani means a merchant. How do we know that? Says Yehuda, so over there, the daughter of an ish kanani. Now, what does it mean? This is by the story of Yehuda when he took his wife. My kanani. What does kanani mean over there? Either kanani amish. If it means literally kanani, and he took the daughter of a Kanani for a wife, Efshab Avram Vizias Yitzchak. Avram went Yitzchak not to marry a Kanani. But Yitzchak Vizias Yaakov. Yitzchak made the same warning to Yaakov not to marry a Kanani. Viewed the Uzzel, the grandson goes, and the son goes, Vnasav, he marries Kanani. Elam Rishim and Lakish, Paskavra Tagra. It was the daughter of a merchant. He was a Chashva merchant. That's what it means. Kanani over there means a Chashva merchant. That's what Yehuda married. So we see from the context. Just like Rish Lakish text over there, Kanani means a merchant. So to our sugya, in our pasuk in Zechariah, was saying it means Kanani means a merchant. Tichsev Kanan biyadei meiznai mirma. Like it says in the pasuk. Again, there's a pasuk in Isaiah. Says in the pasuk, the Kanan, the merchant with scales of trickery of mirma in his hands. If you might say mahachor, different pasuk. Asher sechora sarim kinonea nechabde aretz. Or you can quote from the pasuk that we have in Isaiah, where it says that the traders were princes and the merchants were the mechubadim of the aretz. But again, it's referring to merchants. Vayeshem the melech kol aretz. Again, another pasuk is Zechariah. Vayeshem the melech kol aretz. Bemi yeshem echad ushma yachad. Of course, we say this pasuk every day. We say it in Azashia. We say it in Aleinu. So what does it mean? That then Hashem's name will be one. Oto edelav echadu. Today chalila. Are we saying Hashem's name not one today? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one today already. What's going to be? What are we referring to? Amar b'achanina. Leik l'mazeh k'olam haba. Olam hazeh is unlike, the olam haba is unlike the world that we have right now. Olam hazeh, abseres tevis, amar baruch hatev. Meitev, abseres raz, amar baruch hatev. Famous. In this world, what do we say? For good things, we say good tidings, baruch hatev, ameitev. And for evil, for bad tidings, for sad tidings, we say baruch hatev, ameitev. It's two different nuschayas based on, again, more brachas, based on whether it's good news or bad news. Olam haba, kula tev, ameitev. Olam haba, all we're going to say is, everything we can say is going to be hatev v'hameitev. Ask the mefarshim. Ask the tzlach. What do you mean? You're telling me that all you're going to say, everything you're going to say then is a teva meitiv. Of course, everything then is going to be good. So of course, in the world to come, everything's teva meitiv. Over here, we're saying berachah daimemes because some things unfortunately are negative. Says Ratzlach from a brings from a Reisher that what it means is that things that in this world we said berach daimemes for, in the next world those same things will be a teva meitiv because we realize, maybe we're going to realize even things that we had already said in our lifetimes berach daimemes, we'll realize that everything was for the good, even those things that we say berach daimemes, which is what that we don't understand, that's what we're supposed to say in this world, not in the madrega, but in the next world we realize that it's all hateva meitiv, it's all for the good. Rav Yashaber gave a mashal of a tapestry of like a beautiful carpet. If you take a beautiful carpet and you turn it upside down, on the front side it looks stunning. On the other side, you can see where the patterns come from, but there's loose strings and it doesn't look the same. It looks yucky. When you turn to the right side, you see the beauty. That's what it's going to be like in Olam Haba. We'll see that not only the things that looked good to us, that we could see they were good, even things that looked out of place and no good, are all going to look beautiful. It's going to be all Hatayv V'Yameitim. Ushmayachad. The pasuk says, and his name will be one. What does it mean? Hashem will be one that we already just addressed. Atayv Ameitiv. What does it mean? Shemayachad, Mayachad. Atayv Lav Shemayachad. Today is his name not one. Or Nach Mitzak. Leikam Hazeh Maba. Hel Mazeh Nichtav Be Yud Kei. V'Nikar Ba'Alf Dalos. In this world, it says Yud Kei, but it's pronounced Adnas Alf Dal Nun Yud. Avel Maba Kol Yachad. El Maba. It'll all be one. Nikar Be Yud Kei. Be Yud Kei. V'Nichtav Be Yud Kei. In the world to come, we'll be able to say Yud Kei Vav Kei and pronounce it Yud Kei Vav Kei. Not Aleph Dalet Nunyan. Sava Rav the Midrash of Pirka. Rav thought about teaching in the Perek Hashem's name in his drasha. Amli Usabe El Zetem La Alim Ksiv. It says read it as Vayeshem. When we talk about it's going to come La Elam instead of Zeshmi La Elam Zezuchil Davidar Zeshmi La Elam is my name forever. You should read it as Zeshmi La Alim. Alim means to hide. This is my name to hide. Right now in this world, you should be hiding the shame, the proper way of saying Hashem's name. Ravina Rami, Ravina Sestira, Ksiv Zeshmi La Elam, Zezuchi Dardar. He has a steer, it says, this is my name, La'ilam. He read it to he attached it to mean, Zeshmi La'alim, to be hidden, but then it says, Zezuchi Davidar, every generation should be mentioned, sounds like it shouldn't be hidden. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moikashini Nichtav Ani Nikra, Nichtav Ani Biyud Hei, V'Nikra Ani Ba'alf Dalos. That's exactly the point, that's written Taka in the right way, but it's pronounced in the, I don't quote the wrong way, but it's pronounced Aleph Dalet Adnas, which again we're saying, that's only till the Olam Haba, when we get to Olam Haba, then it's pronounced in the quote unquote the proper way, that's the way it'll be pronounced. Lost love, Hadilach Elu Avrin. We finished the parak of Elu Avrin. Before we get to the next parak, just one quick point on this, on a prior Gemara, and then one quick Kakdama. So first of all, we said, Ashwi Mishmi Shabalakam Vitamud Biyadai, we brought the Marsha, that it means having notes, taking notes, active listening. The Ben Yehuda says, and there's actually a message to those who engage in a relationship with Yisachar Zvulun. It's not a negative message, but it's more just a reality that avada, those who support Yisachar Zvulun, who support Yisachar, get immense schar. They get immense schar. They're 50-50 partners, so to speak. They get immense schar. But the Gemara is still saying Asher Misha Balakana Batamud Biyadei Kimnish Tzu. Even though you get immense schar and you'll be in a proper, maybe in a similar place in Shemayim, in the base Medrash Shemala, next to the one who you supported, next to the one who was the Zvulun, next to the Yisachar. But Asher Misha Balakana Batamud Biyadei, praiseworthy is the Yisachar who comes and he learns to himself. His Tamud Biyadei on his own account and still says, I don't use the word higher madrega, maybe it's not the right words of the Ben Yerada, but it's something, it's fortunate is the one who comes and he already knows the sugya. He knows how to learn. He can be mefalpel learning. He actually has the goods, not just that he has the support of the goods. That is the Ben Yerada. There is Lamaya Samiz Yaakov, just to talk out the other side, in the Sabracha, where the Pasuk says, Smach Zvulam Bitsesachav Yisachav Baylecha. Zvulam, you go out of business and be happy, and Yisachav Baylecha. This is, of course, the idea where we bring the concept of Yisachav Zvulam. Says Amzakov there, why is Zvulun going first? Why is Zvulun first? L'chari Yisachar. Zvulun's going to support Yisachar. Yisachar should be first, right? in the order, by the way, of the Shvatim. It's actually very funny. The second time we have this thing, Moshe and Aaron, right? We have this in the order of the Shvatim. We know who was first. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun. Yisachar was before Zevulun. So if anything, Yisachar should go first. Sion, age, and Sadoch, he's the one that's learning Torah. Says the Emes Yaakov, exactly, I don't want to say exactly opposite of Ben Yada, but seemingly much to the contrary, is going to be Zeis Abracha. He says that that it's because since Zevulun is supporting Yisachar, the Pasuk's putting him first to show that he gets the same level. He's the same level as Yisachar. He actually is first to demonstrate, don't think he's Mahal Yisachar. He is the same level, so it would almost be an opposite idea of Yisachar. Ask the Memesach himself, what's the Pshat? He gives actually an interesting Pshat. And it also ties into what we said earlier for Moshe Feinstein about who Aaron Moshe. Beautiful. Says Rebecca Kamenetsky, what's Taka Pshat? Lemaisa, he didn't sit and learn. He supported Kavaldi, but he didn't sit and learn. How could he be on the same level? So he says, big aside, everyone learns Kol Tarakula. In the mother's stomach, right? That's the famous Gemara. And then the Sanhedrin and the Malach teaches us called Tarkula. When we spend our life learning Torah again, we're getting really the Amelus. When we learn in the mother's stomach, we don't have the Amelus, but the ideas we have, we just forget it, and we are given the opportunity to learn it again and to schwitz and have Amelus to get to that Torah. So when someone uses Amelus and he's in business, but he uses that money that he makes in business to support someone else learning Torah, he has the Amelus, the Torah he had in the mother's stomach. He's just missing Amelus. So Rabbi Kavis says unbelievable. If he uses his Amelus, even though he's in the business world, but he uses the Amelus that he makes from business to support Torah, he also is getting the Amelus element. He has the Torah element already, and he combined it together, and therefore Itaka could be on the same Madrega. So almost, again, I want to say it's opposite of Ben Yerda, but a little bit of a different approach from the Mesli Yaakov about, again, relating to connecting one's Amelus with the right usage with the Torah to make the Zul and Yisachar on the same level. Okay, now with regard to the next parak is really not really necessarily so much a Pesachim parak. It's going to be a parak that's focused on Minig HaMakom, on the Minig, really Minhagim and Minig HaMakom. So before we get to Minig HaMakom, we have to appreciate what a Minig is. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat. Why didn't he eat? Because he was amongst Malachim. And Malachim don't eat. Flip side, when the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu and he served them food, what did they do? They ate it, or they made it look like they were eating. Why? Because, well, they say, when in Rome, literally, it's actually an expression that the Chazal already bring before this, but when in Rome, you have to behave like the Minig HaMakom. It's a concept of not veering for the Minig of the place where one's in. Shri Gai wants to say it actually comes from the Pasuk, Le Sasik Gvul Reacha. That's where the idea comes from, when you're in you shouldn't be over in the Gvul Reacha, when there's a Gvul, when there's some sort of Minig Haraga put in place, you shouldn't go off it. Tais discusses the Shiloh, whether you make a bracha on a minig. We make a bracha on a mitzvah, but the minig is so strong, we should make a bracha on a minig. We don't make a bracha on a minig, but Tais is discussed in a few places. Why not? Perhaps we should make a bracha on a minig. Lastly, we know this famous bracha of Minig Yisrael Torah. The Minig of Yisrael is a Torah. Mamash, Rambam speaks about it also, about the importance of minig. Point is that minig certainly is a very strong, powerful concept, and our mission is discussing the next level, which is when I'm in a place where there is a minig, about me not veering for that minig, because it can lead to strife, it can lead to argument, so I have to do like the minig, says the Mishnah. Makom shenagu lasas melacha, b'arvi Pesach, place where the minig is to do melacha, on erev Pesach, ad chatzais. Key words. After chatzais is no melacha, because after chatzais is already k'shtuv yamtiv, you're being the Karm Pesach, it's asur chametz. We discussed in the past the gabi v'inayim on Matzei Shabbos. We don't say v'inayim on weeks where there's yamtiv during the week, because you don't have a full week without lichtikait. You have yamtiv in the middle, so we don't say v'inayim by Ma'ariv. There's a whole discussion when Pesach falls out on Friday night, not what we had earlier today, when Pesach falls out on we had yesterday's year, when Pesach falls out on Matzah Shabbos. They're talking about Pesach falls out on Friday night, so Erev Pesach is a quasi yamtiv. Is there Vinayim? It's a big discussion, and perhaps you don't say Vinayim, because from Chatzais on, it's certainly yamtiv. The question over here is working in the morning till Chatzais. Says the Mishnah, when the place of the Meg is to work in the morning till Chatzais, Eisen, Yilad Melacha. Mag Shtong Shlassas, when the place of the Meg is not to do work on Erev Pesach till Chatzais, Ein Eisen. Ha'il Chamakam Shayslam, Makam Shayslam, Makam Shayim Eisen. What if he goes from a place where the Minig is to do work, and he ends up in a place where the Minig is not to work? And if he goes from a place where the Minig is to not do work, and he ends up in a place where the Minig is to do work, the importance of Minig is, if he always takes on the Chumrah. So if he's from a place where the Minig is not to work, he should retain his Minig. Even though now he's in a place where the Minig is to do work, he should retain his Minig. It's not going to stick out. He's just going to be passive, not doing work. He should retain his Minig and not do work. On the flip side, if he goes from a place where the Minig is to do work and he's in a place where the Minig is not to work, he should not do work. He should be like the people of that Makam. Top of a vase, Vayishana Adam, Mibnei HaMachlekes. A person shouldn't change the local Minig. Why not? Because it leads to strife, it leads to conflict because of Machlekes. That's the explanation, that the importance of not veering for the minig, even though it's not my minig, is because it leads to machlekes. Get on top of my base. Says the mission for the case by Amalek Paris Mishvias. Similarly, a person who's transporting the Paris of Shvias, Mamakam Shakalu, Mamakam Shalekalu, the halacha is the Shvias Paris, you're allowed to eat them, you can't do business. You let to eat them, but you let to keep them, store them, and eat them. So long as they're still in the field for the animals, you can eat that produce. Once that type of food is no longer, it's called kalu l'chayim and asada, is no longer left over for the animals in the field, then you no longer can store it for yourself. You no longer let to transport and eat them. So what if you go from a place where they still had to a place where it's gone? Makam shekalu l'makam shleikalu. He went from a place where it was gone to a place where it's not gone yet. Makam shleikalu l'makam shekalu. Or opposite, he goes from a place where it wasn't gone to a place where it is gone, where there's no more of this produce. In both cases, chayav avar, he's got to get rid of it from his possession because you take on the chumrah of the place of the chumrah, the place that he's leaving, or the place that's coming to. You take on the chumrah of both places. Rabbi Daimer, save a havi lecha af atar. Rabbi says, we say to him, go out and bring for yourself. What on earth does that mean? Rashi and Farshah for Gemara. Rashi says, sit tight. We'll see what Rabbi means when we get to the Gemara. Okay. My area, Arab Pesach, why focus on Arab Pesach? I feel Arab Shabbos, why focus on Arab Pesach? Even Arab Shabbos, Arab Yantav, same story that you have to be worried about not doing Malacha. Titania, Yisim Malacha, Arab Shabbos, Arab Taivim, Menemichla Mala. One of those work in Arab Shabbos, Arab Yantav from Minchan on, Ain't a Raisim Rechla Malaylam. You won't see Sim Recha from this work. By the way, whenever it says Lashon, Ain't a Raisim Recha, Mishbur explains, what I mean, maybe we see people do make money, it's successful. Mishbur says it means that he'll end up the laws of equals. He won't end up ahead. If he makes money here with this business, then somewhere else I'll have a little bit of a loss that'll make up for it. He won't end up ahead from these. Whenever it says you won't see some bracha for that work, he won't end up ahead. Big, powerful, he said, from the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, since the Mar is bothered, we're seeing over there Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, you shouldn't do work for Mincha either. So what's unique about Erev Pesach? Hasam min Mincha L'mal. The answer is pretty straightforward in the member itself. Min Mincha L'mal Udaser. Samach Mincha Lai. Over there, it's only Aser from Mincha L'mala, Samach L'mincha Nat, which means Mincha, we know the earliest Mincha is from at least a half hour after Chatzais, but according to Pashtas, Mincha L'mal also means 9.5 hours. It really means actually 3.5 hours after Chatzais, right? From Mincha Gedola, okay, or Mincha Ketana. However, Min Mincha L'mal Hudas to Samach Mincha Loi. Hacha Me Chatzais over here. It's from Chatzais, so it's ready for Chatzais. So it's usher earlier, and therefore it's unique din to Pesach. Answer number one. Inami Hasbasim Brachud Leichazi Avos Shemutam Shvdinle over there. You don't see some bracha from the work, but if he chooses to do it, he can't refer hold back. Okay, he still doesn't go to Chayrim, he just won't see some bracha. Over here by Erev Pesach, they actually put him in Chayrim if he does work when he's not supposed to. Says the Mar go a little further. Gufa, what does Malacha Erev Shabbos Yom Tov from Mincha and on, or Matzah Shabbos, or Matzah Shabbos? Interesting, Matzah Shabbos says Malacha, he's not supposed to do Malacha Matzah Shabbos, we'll speak more than a second. Or Matzah Yom Tov Mitzim Kippur, or any place where there's a Nindan, it's a trace of an Aveira. Lasui, what does it come to include? Tanis Sibur comes to go Tanis Sibur. The question is if it's all Tanis Sibur or specifically Tisha B'Av where the minhag is not to work. Ain't a right Simrach Lam. We won't see Simrach for any of these work. But what's interesting from the ones we just added is we're talking about Erev Yom Tov. We understand. We're talking about Tanis Sibur of Tisha B'Av where there's minhag to work. We understand. What's Matzah Shabbos? So you could say Matzah Shabbos means Til Avdallah, which is actually born Halacha, and one's not supposed to do any Malacha Til Avdallah. Even though Shabbos is over, it's clearly after dark. You don't do any Malacha Til Avdallah. And we say that if you say Baruch Hamavda Kadosh Shachol, you say Atachar Tanu in Shpanesrei Malacha you could do. You just can't eat Til Avdallah, but you need, at the very least, Baruch HaMavda B'Kadosh Shechol, or Atachar HaTanu, even though it's late at night, in order to do any malacha, that is a basic idea. The Achash Shabbos says further that it has to be, it's really a person's attitude. It doesn't necessarily mean, before that even, they discuss this Chiv Teisa Shabbos as well. It's referring to Teisa Shabbos, but again, once someone already was Yetzu Teisa Shabbos, and once he said the Baruch HaMavda, presumably he still could do work. That's we're not against that, but it means there should be an attitude of not waiting for Chalilu for Shabbos to end, which unfortunately is the case in some places, some people, it should be exactly opposite. There should be a tsar when Shabbos ends. That's the main point. That's Urcha Shabbos, the Urchas Chaim explains. That's the idea of being a tsar when Shabbos ends. That's what it means. One that's running to go to Malacha. He's excited to turn on his devices and try to do Malacha. That's a problem. But it's one who gives a little taste of Shabbos, who waits to Malacha, waits for Hamavzal, doesn't rush to go into Malacha. That's the Chaira. That would seemingly be enough for our Gemara. Tanaban. Yeshar is the Nisqa person. It could be a Zariz. He could be fastidious and be successful. The Yeshar is Vinifsad, but he can be Zaris and he can lose out. Yesh Shafel Vinishman, you have a person that's lazy and he gets rewarded for being lazy. We'll see in a minute. The Yesh Shafel Vinifsad, you have someone who's lazy and loses out. The Mark explains, Zaris Vinishman, a person who is Zaris and he gets Schar for it. David Kula Shabbat of Mal Shabbat. He's Zaris that he gets Schar because he works the entire week and Erev Shabbos doesn't work. So he's a Zaris by nature and he gets Schar for refraining from his work in Erev Shabbos. Zaris Vinifsad, what's that? The Avid Kula Shabbat of Avid Mal Shabbat. Because he works the whole week, he's a Zariz, but he also works in Erev Shabbos, so he's a Zariz, it's his personality, but it's a problem running into Shabbos working, for that he loses out. Shafav and Iskar, a person who's lazy, who gains, because the guy be this din of not working Erev Shabbos, if he doesn't work a week, so he won't be working Erev Shabbos also, the guy be that he benefits. Love the Kul Shabbat, he doesn't work a week, but he also doesn't work on Erev Shabbos. Shafav and Iskar, if he's lazy and he loses out, love the Kul Shabbat, that's the worst of both worlds. A guy who doesn't work a week, he's not busy working a week, Erev Shabbos, he wakes up and starts to work, so that's the worst of all situations. Amar Rava. Hani Yashim Mechuzah, the women of Mechuzah. Afagav, Delei Avdan, Avidan, Mal Shabbat, even though they don't work on Erev Shabbos, Mishim Mefkunusahu, even though they don't work on Erev Shabbos, it's because of their Mefunakim. It's not because they're doing it for Kavod Shabbos. It's because they're just mefunik. They're very delicate. Because they don't work a week. So Rav is giving an example of this category. Even so, they're called shuffle. They're lazy and they're getting schar for being lazy because lemaisa they're not working for Shabbos and that itself is a maila. Even though it's not for the reason of Kavod Shabbos, they still get that maila of not working for Shabbos. Rav asks a stira. Ksivki gadol hashemayim chazecha says your kindness is great to heavens. Ksivki gadol me'al hashemayim chazecha says your kindness is greater than above the heavens. Which is it? Hakeitz said, does Hashem reward? It's talking about the reward for our kindness. Is the reward for the kindness that the kaiso that people do, is it above the heavens or is it at the heavens? Rav answers, famous idea, it depends if it was done lishma or not. When it's lishma, it's even from above the heavens. If it was done kulashma, if it was not done lishma, obviously relevant to our previous case, that people just weren't working anyway, so not working on Shabbos. Lamais, they get the schar, not working on Shabbos, but it wasn't being on lishma, they get, again, the schar, but from a little bit of a lower madrigan shemayim. A person should talk about Isaac mitzvahs, even though it's Lelashma, because the mice, if you're doing it and you're successful, you do mitzvahs and you realize you accomplish mitzvahs, even though you didn't do the Shema, it becomes, it'll train a person and the person will end up going into doing mitzvahs Lishma as well. So therefore, a person should do it even Shalashma and it'll get the Lishma. The point is, in our Sugya, we have these people who have been kind of mitzvah not working on Shabbos. Or Matzah Shabbos, Shalei Lishma, because they don't work anyway. Lamaisa, it's still a Madrega, even though it's not the highest Madrega of Me'al Shemayim, but it's Me'Shemayim, they get the Chazdecha, they still have Madrega of reward, and it from Lishma will come to Lishma. Tanar Abanan, Hamitzapel Schar Ishtai, Rechayim, a person looks at the earnings of his wife, or of a mill, he won't see a Simbrach Leilam. What does that mean? Schar Ishtai Maskulta, the Schar of the earnings of his wife means, she's going to the marketplace to with a scale in order to be hired out for a scale. She's schwitzing to make a parnasa. Rechaya Garta, and the earnings of the mill. The earnings of the mill means having a mill to grind for hire. Ava of the mizavna. If she's busy selling in the markets, that's okay. She makes a cloak and she sells it. That's okay. It's the first activities where she's at it. Apparently there's a more stressful activities and more tully in other people. That's a more, that's troublesome. A person that can't rely on his own parnasa and has to rely on his wife. But if she's making things and selling it, that's really not considered, such a negative. Says the Martana Abadan, Hamishtaka Bakanim, there's more profit in that business, and therefore it's better. She has a talent that she uses it, that's fine. Tana Abadan, Hamishtaka Bakanim, Bakanim, one who makes profits by selling cane or jars, ain't a race in Rechleilim, he won't see some Recha, my time, keeping the Nafish of Chzayo, Shalta Bu'ena, since they're made in bulk, since you're dealing in large amounts, it looks like he has a big business. And it looks like he has a big business, what do people do? They give eyes to it. They give eyes, say, oh, look at the guy, he's a festive business. It's not a good simon. It's not a good sign when people give eyes to one's business. It's supposed to be, simon bracha is on something which is simon and eye, which is hidden from the eye. So two more lines, and we'll stop. We'll have to pick up the rest of Marmishem. Tara Baran, Tagri Simta, the vendors of the alleyways, and those who raise small animals, those who cut down good trees to sell the wood, and those who put their eyes on the good portion. It means those that whenever things are divided, they always try to chop the best piece. Only type of people ain't raya simon brachal elam. They don't see simon brachal my time. Why not? Taso beenchi, because people are like jealous of them, so to speak, or the lashon the Taitchel Aksel is astonished by them, but it leads to ayin hara. All these different things lead to having an ayin hara. Tanra Abanan, Abra Prutas, Aimab Sim Bracha, four type of prutas won't have Sim Bracha, Schar Kaisfin, the Pruta of the Seifrim, Schar Metugamim, the Meturgamans, the one that are the translators, Schar Yisaimim, those that profit from investing money of the Yisaimim, Umayisab Azbiyazyam, and money comes to Yisyam. Well, actually, I don't want to run through this too quickly. Let's leave this and pick up Meretz from tomorrow to go through why these things won't have Schar. Hopefully, we'll be able to catch up a little more tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.